Episode number 196, Interview with Three.
Coming to you almost live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your host Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast on the air.
And welcome back, everyone, for another episode of the Camaro Z28.com podcast. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jason.
And we have a special guest in our studio today.
We love doing the special guest episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Because you guys don't have to listen to just us run our mouths. So I have on my right and on your left, Chris,
yeah.
We have, well, we're going to let you do the introduction. Tell us your name and what name you're known as and what you do and anything else to get the introduction started.
My name's Jim Stanek, and on CamaroZ28.com, I go by Three. I'm a validation manager with General Motors, and I've had the privilege to work with some of the Holden folks a few years ago, which was really sort of my connection into the fifth-gen Camaro. And through a lot of politicking, promising, I basically made a commitment that if they gave me one of the first cars, I would drive it to California, and if they could find someone to drive it to Alaska during Christmas break, they might have someone that would go further than me. So I said they should have a contest about how many miles anybody would drive in order to get a car. Apparently I won, but I did get one of the first six cars that were available before Christmas, and the VIN number on the car that I got was number three. So
there
that's
you
where
go.
I was born.
That's where it came
number
from.
Number three.
No Dale Earnhardt connection?
Not intentionally. You could say there was some coincidence there because certainly Dale Earnhardt's one of my all-time favorite drivers, and you know, certainly tragic the story what happened there, but no connection, just coincidental, I think.
I think it's a cool coincidence.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, geez.
And then more recently, there was an unfortunate situation that you posted in the 2010 forums that, you woke up one morning and you walked out to get your newspaper, go to work or whatever, and, well, somebody had left you a little surprise or removed a little surprise.
Yeah, there was less content on the car. It was kind of an odd set of circumstances. We'd come back from up north on Saturday, I think got home about 8 o'clock, and left the car in the driveway, didn't have my garage door opener, just had been let somebody else actually drive the car, one of the other engineers, and didn't have it in the car. So, again, like I've done for years and years with, a lot of other cars, left it in the driveway when we got home, and went out at 8 o'clock the next morning, and the car was literally sitting on the ground. And you could see jacks out from under it. What it turned out they had done is used jacks from four different cars to lift the car up, take the wheels, and it had apparently fallen
just
over.
Just drop it, yeah.
Yeah, just fell on the ground. So, ugh. And when the sheriff came to, they came very quick. I made the quick phone call, 911, not an emergency, but right. I didn't know what else to call. And 5 minutes later, and he found a tool bag, like little plastic tool bags you'd find in the trunk of a car holding the, wheel lug nuts and stuff or the wrenches. And it was from a Range Rover. And he just said, uh-oh, I'm going to go take a drive. And sure enough, there was a Range Rover in the neighborhood that was also, jacked for its wheels.
Oh.
So I understand the tow truck driver said it's really, there's a rash of it going around right now just taking wheels.
Mm.
Back in the 70s, except they don't even put them on cinder blocks anymore. They just let them drop right on the rotors pretty
exactly.
much, right?
That's what happened to my 95 Camaro about 10 years ago. It was at a shop and they called me the next day. The car's sitting on its rotors.
Yeah, yeah. It's since you've been through it, it's like, you get, the cars assigned to you, and particularly one as special as a Camaro, and you really take some responsibility and pride in driving the car, and then to walk out and see that, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Jeez.
Interestingly enough, the owner of the shop that yours happened at, Chris, the same thing happened to his Cadillac about a year ago.
Yeah.
So it's definitely going around. Interestingly enough, not very many people are selling 2010 Camaro wheels and tires. I've seen them pop up on eBay every now and then, but keep an eye out. I'm sure that they haven't been recovered yet, correct?
No, they haven't.
Okay, well.
But I think the thing that makes it unique, they're the 18-inch, the 1LT wheel.
Oh.
And so the only person that they, and they, you guys know, they brought the old Camaro wheels because they heard Camaro, the tow truck driver, came. They were just going to jack it up and put some Camaro rims on it and then roll it up they don't fit. Yeah. So it's not like, you know, the fourth gen that these wheels will fit. They won't. So
they said, oh, it's a new Camaro. Yeah.
So I think they just saw, you know, the new Camaro and thought they were, you know, hitting the jackpot. But the only thing that I think anybody's going to buy the 1LTs might be someone looking for, you know, winter tires or something like that, or someone with an LS that wants to upgrade. But, you know, obviously the 20s are all over eBay right now, but I haven't seen anybody trying to sell them.
Right.
18s.
So what'd they put on your car?
They actually jacked it up and set it down on dollies with 4x4s, because the dollies are intended to, you know, when you set the car with the wheel in the dolly. Yeah. So they were putting 4x4s. They were very, very creative. It was, it amazed me. I got to the point where I couldn't watch anymore. I'm like, if it falls off the back of this flatbed, I don't want to see the car fall.
It's already been treated poorly as it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's really tragic, Jim. We hate hearing things like that. Any idea of the extent of the damage done to it?
The only thing I know for sure that was done was the fascia, the front fascia was damaged and cracked pretty badly. I don't know if it was from them jacking it badly, because they didn't use obviously the right points to jack it. Right. I think they were just looking for any structure underneath, or if it was when the car fell. And I haven't got a report if, you know, any of the underbody or anything was damaged. They basically pulled, you know, number three out of service for a couple of weeks and gave me a different car. So.
Well, we say that this is the hottest car out there. Now the wheels and tires are hot as well out there. Taking a step back, so you started getting involved with the online communities by getting that Camaro and taking it across the country. Give us kind of the rundown of what, you know, like kind of like a highlight reel of your trip, and, you know, things that came about, things you saw, things that people said to you. Driving a 2010 Camaro before
cross country,
before anybody really even had a chance to much less sit in one. Yeah. This is before the Detroit Auto Show and everything.
Yeah, it was the first day that we left, and we sort of had our trip planned, and we had done the route before a couple of years previous at Thanksgiving. So, you know, we kind of knew the route we were going to take. But that Friday, we left work. If you recall, last day before Christmas was a big snowstorm.
Oh yeah.
So we had probably like 8 or 10 inches of snow, and my boss knew we were leaving, so she goes, "Yeah, you guys just get out of town." So it took us 3 hours to get from, you know, basically Rochester Hills to the Ohio border, and I don't know if you recall, but the storm was basically coming west to east. I mean, purely, and all you had to do was get south of the state line, and you're past the snowstorm. But, you know, once we got through that 3 hours, it was smooth sailing, but. You know, it's taking the trip to California in that car, that, you know, that special, an automobile. And it's really what kind of prompted me to go online and, you know, look for ways to share it is, you know, I've always tried to get captured test fleet cars, you know, the cool stuff. It's just something I try and do because I'm real excited about our products. But, you know, this one was every time we would just stop for gas, you'd get people with, you know, camera phones, cameras. We had... one car was absolutely hilarious at night. It was actually a Hyundai Tiburon. And the gal in the passenger seat was trying to take pictures, and the flash kept going off, but she had her window up. So it took them like 20 minutes to realize that the flash was coming off of the glass on the door and why she wasn't getting good pictures. So then it came up again like, I think, 15 minutes later when they figured out what was going on with the window down and she was hanging out the window. But... you know, literally, just so much excitement. And, you know, as I said, with the previous captured test fleet cars, you know, we'd taken XLRs to Florida, and, you know, my wife used to work on Corvette, which is how she knew Cheryl and Scott. So we always had that opportunity to have our new stuff, and you'd always get a chance to talk to people at gas stations and lunch stops. Like, oh, that's a cool car. And you'd talk to them. And, you know, I hadn't really played much online. And I said, you know, maybe this is a good opportunity to just make it like a virtual gas stop. So that you could, you know, tell people about the car and share your experience. But, I mean, literally everywhere we would go, you know, even in California, you know, think of, you know, sort of they have maybe a different look on the American car out there. Just absolute attention, you know, camera phones, you know, people coming up and asking you what it is. And again, like I was telling you before, You really have kind of four categories. There are certainly the people that knew exactly what it was, and they've been waiting for it, looking forward to it. And, you know, then there's a group of people that go, oh, hey, I know what a Camaro is. You know, I remember the Camaro. That's really cool. And I'd be, you know, all excited that the Camaro was coming back and it was a reminder. But then there were the people that had no idea what it was. I mean, they had not a clue, you know, not real car people that would come up to you that just were just absolutely men and women that just thought it was the most stunning, beautiful car they'd ever seen. What is it? And then, you know, you'd start the conversation there. And, you know, then there's this small group of people that, you know, I think don't know much or care much about cars, and, you know, they wouldn't notice it. But
the hell with them.
But, you know, we had one guy that we met just online when we were out in Palm Springs. And it's just a great story because I'm like, I live in Palm Springs. Can I see the car? And I'm like, okay, we're leaving tomorrow. I'll meet you at 7 a.m. at this gas station on Highway 10. And he's like, I'll be there. So we showed up, and this guy literally comes running across the gas station parking lot, waving his arms. He's like a kid on Christmas morning. And his girlfriend's in the car, and, you know, she comes out, and she's just, like, shaking her head, and we're talking to her, and she's like, we've been here since 6 o'clock this morning, and it's the first sunrise I've ever seen in my whole life. So he got up, like, you know, and they were literally in this gas station in the dark waiting for this Camaro to show up. And, you know, the guy was just so excited to see it. And, you know, on the way back, some other guys like, oh, well, if you know, you're stopping to see the car and you're on this way, it was literally constant barrage of, you know, can you drive 900 miles up to Nebraska on your way home and show me the car? But we had kind of agreed on the way back that we would stop, and, you know, some other enthusiasts in St. Louis. So I said, all right, here's what I'll do. I posted that, you know, I'm going to stop at 10 o'clock. I'll tell you where I am, and I'll give you a place I'll meet, and anybody who wants to show up, that's fine. I'm forget, whatever, nobody will be there. So, oops, sorry.
Bonk.
Yeah. So I posted, okay, McDonald's exit, whatever it is, 10 miles south of St. Louis. Fine, I'll go get a coffee. Well, I show up and it's like a Camaro car show. And there's like all these people waiting in the parking lot, you know, with their cameras and stuff like that. So I spent, you know, 45 minutes, an hour with those guys, and, you know, they're just going, you know, going nuts. And, like I said, just so much attention for this car. It's at a grassroots level. You know, like I said, I've driven Corvettes cross country and, you know, down to Florida and XLRs. And there's nothing been like this at all. Nothing close. It's absolutely amazing. The passion for this car, you know, and it might be just, you know, some of it might be the 5 year absence and people just have missed it. And, part of it, I think, is, you know, GM's done such an outstanding job making emotional, styling statement with this car.
I believe it's
absolutely. Like I said, even you know, it sounds kind of funny, but number three it's a 1LT. You know, it was a base car with a sunroof, and just absolute attention and stunning everywhere you go, and you don't find that too many. You know, even like the base level car. This is the one that's the high volume car. It's not intended to be, you know, the performance model.
Right.
But people are just going nuts just to see it, just to sit in it. And, you know, it's I've never had a car where people just like you make their day by letting them sit in a car.
Yeah.
So just an outstanding experience taking that car to California. Just unbelievable. And, the thing that's amazing that really about this car is what a great trip car it was. You know, all these cars that I've taken on vacation, I don't like to fly, by the way. So we drive everywhere. either that, you probably think I'm just crazy, but, it is probably one of the most stable, comfortable, you know, it's not Cadillac quiet, but just absolutely a car. I mean, we put two, you know, over 1,000-mile days going out, coming back. You know, you're talking St. Louis to Albuquerque.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's cars I've done that in, and you're just tired and beat. And this car, it's amazing. You get out of it, and you're like, that was not so bad.
What was the total mileage amount that you put on it?
I think it was out and back with some of the driving we did out there. I think we were just a little over 5,000 miles.
And this is a captured fleet vehicle, yep. So it's not 100% production ready. But having said that, can you talk about, did you have any creaks and rattles at 5,000? Did you have any I got to call, you know, roadside assistance?
No. I mean, like I said, it was... there were, you know, a few issues that, you know, we in the captured test fleet program, we actually use OnStar. to capture the problem. So when you have a capture test fleet vehicle, you just call OnStar and ask for the capture test fleet operator, and they forward you. And then you just report your mileage and the problems. Mm-hmm. And most of the issues that we had were, you know, right when we got the car, you know, a couple of things that, you know, maybe some fit issues, you know, like the IP to the door trim, which is always a tough thing to do. It's real tough in a launch. A couple of the electrical problems that, you know, have been posted online, some of the things I think that have, you know, had the cars had to have reflashed. But, you know, for the most part, for being number three, the third car built in, you know, the production intent, I drove to California and back, and we didn't have an issue, and I didn't even worry about it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That takes guts. Well, it really does. With any car, I don't care if we're talking, you know,
especially
Bentley.
In the middle of winter. Did you have winter tires on there?
You know, the 1LT comes with all seasons.
And you were just using the all season tires?
Yeah, and the you know, the SSs came with the ice and snows, the V8s.
Okay.
And because, again, you got the summer Pirellis on there, and I could go on about capture test fleet cars we had 4 or 5 years ago, rear wheel drive performance cars that, you know, would be in the snow and they leave the summer tires on, and it's not good. but I will say that, you know, my driveway, and unfortunately it's not a big enough hill to have impeded the guy stealing my wheels, but it is tough to get a rear wheel drive car, you know, in the wintertime up that driveway.
Wow.
And the 1LT, you know, Camaro with the all seasons is never missed a beat. Just shoot right up there, 6 inches of snow. it felt like I was driving a, you know, all wheel drive vehicle. It's awesome.
Wow.
That's terrific. That's terrific.
Especially here in Michigan.
Yeah.
We saw some people posting about that. Well, you know, how good are these cars going to be in the snow?
Well, we had no problems.
I think that just answers the question.
In the snow and crappy rain slush that when we did our test drive too. I mean, I even said to Scott, I said I could drive this car every day here in Michigan, in Detroit, with crappy roads and weather. And I could go on and on about that for an hour and a half straight.
Yeah. I mean, you say I drove it to work every day. Like, you know, it was basically my daily driver for, you know, over Christmas, January, February, March, and in the bad roads, and never missed a beat.
I like to think that this is probably the finest daily driver Camaro ever produced.
I'd agree.
And we had a pretty bad winter this year, too.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of snow.
Before we get too much further into this, a lot of people are probably wondering by now, where's the voicemails and emails and the content and the giveaway prizes and everything?
Yeah, unfortunately, we got to skip those this week.
Well, you know, we got a special. We got three in the studio here. Come
number
on.
Three.
We're going to cover those, any voicemails and emails next week, along with any prizes to give away, and we're going to be giving away a prize from Camaro, CamaroCollection.com.
Right.
To anyone who leaves a cool voicemail, it gives us something to talk about. And if you're new to the show or you forgot how to get a hold of us, here's how.
To stay informed and in touch with the Camaro Z28.com crew, go to the message boards at CamaroZ28.com. If you have a question for the podcast, call the Camaro Z28.com voicemail hotline. The number is 586-486-3182. That's 586-486-3182.
And before we go any further, we want to say that this episode is brought to you by Magnaflow at magnaflow.com. All your exhaust needs. Hopefully they're going to have something out for the fifth gen soon.
I haven't
we
had
keep
a chance
checking.
To check. Have you checked lately?
Yes.
I have not.
No.
No, I forgot.
Yeah. It's not there yet.
Well,
part numbers are there.
They got to be working on something. Because,
yeah.
I mean, more and more Camaros are arriving at dealerships every day. I got to get down to pick
anytime
up mine.
Now. Anytime.
Any
now.
Day now.
Yeah.
You got yours. So we're talking with Jim Stanek, a.k.a. 3, and we talked about people going nuts with camera phones and video cameras and every time they see a Camaro. Chris, now that you're driving your Camaro around, didn't you have an interesting experience recently that kind of made you question the intelligence of somebody?
I was driving down a road here, and I noticed the person behind me was jacking around in their vehicle, and they came out with their camera phone. I figured, you know, they're just going to snap a picture of me. No, they actually went out their passengers, or not the passenger, the driver's window, and the passenger was actually driving the car while this guy was shooting pictures. And I was directly in front of him, so all he was getting was pictures of the rear of the car. I thought that was kind of funny. I'll look around and see if I see any of those pictures posted.
Saw a Camaro today. Here's the tail end of it. And, you know, they're blurry because I was
hanging upside down.
Supposedly driving.
That was pretty funny.
So, Jim, any other tales from the road? Anything interesting? Did you hit any deer or anything?
No, nothing like that. We did, you know, as again, another road trip. We took Scott's car down to Florida.
Oh, and those pictures were gorgeous.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, and you know, again, just to emphasize how good a truck. I mean, again, I've driven, you know, fourth gens to Florida, and you know, so I've driven a lot of cars. And again, I put a lot of trips to the Carolinas and Floridas. My wife is very patient with my fear of flying. But you know, Scott's cars, you guys know, is a SSRS, the gorgeous yellow, and you know, it's obviously a little firmer ride, but just a super comfortable car. You know, we really enjoyed driving that down to Florida, and you know, we did have the good misfortune of spending 8 hours in Georgia because the Georgia Department of Transportation elected to have some construction and merge two highways all at one point. So wow. We're in this traffic jam, and you know, it's warm weather. We got the windows down, so we're just talking to everybody, pictures, and you know, hey, what kind of cars? Oh, that's cool. Is that the new Camaro? You know, you got the co-eds going down for spring break, hanging out the motorhome, screaming. And, you know, the young ladies were, you know, enjoying the car. Everybody, just like I say, it's you know, they say, you know, if you want to meet people, get a dog and go to the park. And it's like, no, just buy a Camaro. You'll be all set. But, you know, we got down there and, you know, we met a few enthusiasts, you know, at Daytona. You know, we took a few rides and. Like I said, it was just a repeat performance of everyone just going nuts for the car. And, you know, we had a chance to drive it on Daytona Beach, which is really cool. And I will tell you that, it's one of those experiences that you wish you had the equipment to record it, because it was for Camaro. It's so cool because we had the windows down and the sunroof up, and we're driving down. If you ever drove on Daytona Beach, there's like the people that are playing in the water, and there are people that are up, you know, up kind of doing the sunbathing thing. And we're driving, you know, like 5 miles an hour. All you hear out of the left side of the car and the right side of the car is Camaro, Transformers, Bumblebee. And it's just like, and you would watch, and everybody, I mean, literally, it was almost like the, you know, Lady Godiva and Naked Woman on a Horse thing. It was just everybody you could the just attention. Watch as you drove would turn their focus to the car. And wow. Just, you know, I wish we had some kind of way to record
all the expressions.
Because you were just picking it up on the left and right side of the car, but... Everyone was noticing, and I'd stop to take some pictures, you know. And it's like I had to hurry because as soon as I'd stop the car, it'd be like you could see him coming. The people would want to gather around the car. So I'm like,
now you know what an ice cream truck driver feels like in a neighborhood full of kids.
Or celebrities with all the paparazzi.
Right. Yeah. That's what we said in our first road test.
Right.
That was kind of like driving a celebrity. And since I mentioned it, Jim, you mentioned that it's not Cadillac quiet, and we said it was. So you've probably had more seat time in Cadillacs than we had, but it's still definitely a quiet car for what it is.
Oh, it is. You know, like I say, the 1LT, you know, chassis-wise is really, if you really want a refined car that has a great balance, it's amazing. It's the base Camaro, but it probably has one of the best balanced, you know, ride and handling results that you're going to find. And it's right there with, if you were to buy a Cadillac CTS or, you know, or the 1LT Camaro, I think you'd find them very, very similar. Wow. Like I say, I'd have to see the numbers that would say that a Cadillac's actually quieter. Yeah. But you're right. You're right, Jason.
It was awfully close. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Going from a fourth gen with long tube headers and a pretty loud exhaust to Scott Settlemyer's Camaro SS. You're like, wow, this is quiet.
Yeah. Real quiet.
Very quiet. It's kind of.
Well, it is. It's, you know, I say I don't mean this in a derogatory sense, but we really quit taking Corvettes on our trips to Florida and stuff because, you know, the tire noise, the interior noise, and, you know, you put the radio on, and that's fatiguing when you're spending hours in a car. Mm-hmm. You got, you know, just the noise of the exhaust and the big tires, and, you know, you're trying to have a conversation with your, you know, with my wife and I trying to talk, you're kind of talking over the car. And either the 1LT or the SS on those trips, it's... awful, you know, it's quiet. Awesome. Awesome. I'd say both of them are awesome trip cars.
It used to be that the Corvette would follow, the Camaro would follow in the Corvette's footsteps.
Right.
Maybe the Corvette in the future will take a page out of the Camaro book.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, the Corvette guys would hate that. I know that we have Corvette listeners, and they're turning us off right now.
I love Corvettes.
I love
Corvettes.
I love Corvettes, too.
I love Corvettes, too.
I wish I had a Corvette. But I'm just glad that the Camaro is doing so well and did well for you on that I think I think it's a little risky taking a number the third car off the assembly line and just okay, give me the keys and I'm gone.
Yeah,
that was very, very cool, and I think it's I wish I could experience that, and that's a chance of a lifetime, I think. Yeah. is really a cool thing to do.
The only time I'll say that I even felt remotely concerned is we were coming home, we went the southern route through meet some friends in Tucson. And so instead of going, you know, north up through Flagstaff and taking 40 across, which at Christmas you can get some snow, and going out, we got, it was which way we were going to go depended on the weather. Well, we're going taking 10 across, and you really have to kind of head up, you know, over toward Texas and then go straight north into Albuquerque. And the problem is to get, I'm trying to remember the name of the number of the road that went north up into Albuquerque, but you had to go like 30 miles past and then 30 miles back to pick it up. So it's like 60 miles out of your way. Well, there's New Mexico Highway 23, I think it was, or 27. And that is the most desolate 30 miles of driving. I mean, you know, if you get way out in the boonies, if you're on the highway and you get in farm country, every once in a while you'll see like some farmer's light for his house or his barn.
Nothing.
Zip.
Nothing.
It is the most desolate drive I've ever been on. And there you're sitting there going, man, I hope OnStar works out or something bad happens. But even that, the road, once we hit the road going up to, of course, we had to stop and, you know, everybody had to ask about the car again. So we got some gas and then, and then heading north on into Albuquerque, you're driving that road. And again, it's like I-75 here in Michigan, you know, yeah. It's a, you know, main super highway. And we're like, it's like 8:30 at night at this point, and there's nobody on the highway. So you're going, you know, this is a road that had something to do with moving nuclear weapons on its sands. But yeah, I was, I think, the only time that, and I'll tell you this, is I'd have been nervous in any car. It had nothing to do with the fact that it was the third Camaro. It was just such a desolate drive that I could have been in, you know, any car, and I'd have probably been a little bit worried.
Well, it's a heck of an experience.
Yeah,
I mean,
no kidding.
I bet you had to plan for 20-minute gas stops every time you stop just to get people out of your way.
Oh, yeah. It was, but it's fun, you know, and I know, you know, the Capture Test Fleet, you know, they want people to demonstrate it, and they want people to, you know, kind of to share that excitement. And, you know, some people, you know, maybe aren't as cool about it, you know, but... you know, I like sharing a car, and I like sharing it with the enthusiasts, and you know, with GM right now, to have something that people are that excited about, how can you not want to share it with people? So, you know, I'd have people following you around. You'd holler, hey, you want to look at the car? And I'd even pull over for people. You know, there's some
nice
kids driving a Camaro up Mound Road, and they were like, you know, you could tell they were just really into the car. And I said, hey, you know, holler at them. I got to stop for gas on the way home. I'm going to stop up here if you guys want to look at the car and sit in it. And there's just three guys driving a, you know, fourth gen, and they were just all, you know, really geeked about it. And
it's awesome.
So create the opportunity and, you know, build the enthusiasm as part of the, you know, part of the Capture Test Fleet if you use it right. And but this car did all the work on its own. Wow.
That's awesome. Well, Jim, thanks for coming into the studio here, and thanks for being a member on our site. You've got a full photo gallery of every picture you've taken of that your Camaros.
And I think I have to link that in my signature. I've, you know, like I said, I'm still kind of new at some of that stuff, so I hammer it out, you know, like you when you have an Excel problem. But I'll put the link out there, and you know, like I said, I don't know that they're great pictures, but I'm fairly proud of them. But you know, there's a lot of pictures of Scott's car on there, and we took it to Florida. You know, the SS that my wife was driving, some pictures of, you know, three, and we took it out to California. So hopefully the members will like to have a look at those.
Yeah, I think they will. And,
yeah, definitely.
And all the members that are listening, as you can seek Jim out. His name is Three.
Three.
The word, not the number.
Yeah.
On the board. Jim, thanks again for coming into the studio. Before we sign off, we got to give a shout out to our buddy Paul. Kind of laid
one
up.
One fast dog.
Kind of laid up, taking it easy. I think, he lives in Florida, so, you know, he's probably just on his back porch listening right now.
Yeah.
But hang in there, Paul, and
get better,
well, and I don't think there's any problems, so we'll see you back post on the board relatively soon.
Yes.
And I guess that's it. Is that it for this week?
Yeah. Okay. We'll be back next week with our normally scheduled program.
Regularly scheduled.
Giving stuff away,
talking Camaro news and updates and all that. But Jim, thanks again for coming on in.
Yeah, it's
my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. And everybody, thanks for listening.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Camaro Z28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline, 586-486-3182. Or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Camaro Z28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.